20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. You know my guest already, but I'll introduce her anyway. It's the one and only Carmen Vitale. You can find her on social media at Carmen V, of course, Fox Sports Radio as well. Carmen, it is playoff week. How the heck are you doing?
I'm great. This is fun. We have a third matchup of these two historic teams. And given how weird the regular season games were this year, like, it's either going to be even weirder or it's going to be like the most normal game ever. Like, there's going to be no in between.
Yeah, I have a feeling weird is going to stay status quo in this one, but either way, I cannot wait. I know you're going to, well, actually, even before we get there, just what you mentioned, as I was watching the games this weekend, and all of a sudden it felt like for a moment that we were going to get Packers Eagles instead. Like, yeah. I'm not even talking about like which team I'd rather play from like a competitive advantage standpoint or anything like that. There was like a part of me where like my heart was breaking of like, this season deserves a Packers Bears rubber match. It needs to be a Packers Bears third game. I don't care where it's played. It doesn't matter to me any of that. It just, it needed to happen. It deserved to happen. And as that game, both those games are going on, I'm like, oh my God, they're going to have to go to Philly and we might not even get this matchup. And then all of a sudden, you know, the football gods blessed us with the third and final matchup. Maybe I'll be ruining those words if Chicago wins and wishing that this whole thing never happened. But at the time, it certainly felt like this was the best way to go from an NFL standpoint.
I mean, I think the entire NFL wanted this to happen again. I mean, you saw like the report that all of the major networks, this was their first or second choice game for this weekend. And I guess the league decided to throw Amazon Prime a bone. So now we get a Saturday matchup again, which is crazy when you're putting the 2 seed, which are the Chicago Bears, funny enough, on a short week. So this is that was very impactful. I was shocked. I thought this was going to be the Sunday night game. Like, almost like I thought it was like a foregone conclusion this was going to be the Sunday night game. But you know, I guess Amazon gets shafted during the season with some, although this year hasn't even been that bad. But no. Historically, they've gotten some pretty bad matchups. It hasn't really happened this year. In fact, we've got some of the best games of the year on Thursday night this year. But I digress. I'm so excited for the primetime matchup. I will be there. So I'm going from my radio show on Fox Sports Radio straight to the stadium. But that's the benefit of living 10 minutes from Soldier Field. So
there you go. Yeah, no, it's going to be, I'm so happy for you that you get to be there and experience that atmosphere. Yeah. I think like the cheapest ticket right now is over $500 to get in the gate for the game in Chicago. So that fan base is going to be fired up. I'm sure there's going to be a couple of Packers transplants that are, you know, in the stadium there as well, but it's going to be a raucous atmosphere. I mean, this game feels so incredibly important for both franchises, which we'll talk about as well. But I'm with you. I thought this was for sure going to either be the Sunday night game or the Sunday 3:30 game at worst. And Saturday night it is, though. And I'm all for it. As long as I talked about this with Paul and Ziggy from the Paul Farrington show yesterday, if the Packers do lose, then I lose a little bit of like my enthusiasm for the Sunday game. So I really need a Packers win so that I can still enjoy the Sunday slate of action. But either way, it's going to be an awesome postseason week. I want to start by quickly, because I don't think anyone cares about Packers Vikings anymore. It's dead. It's over. It never mattered in the first place. Yeah. I don't even necessarily need any keys to that or whatever. If you have them, great, go for it. But more of Green Bay is coming off a 4-game losing streak to end the season. Again, we can push the Vikings game aside because it didn't matter if we want 3 legitimate game losing streak at the end of the year. The Bears have a 2-game losing streak to end the year. And of course, we get a little bit of shade from Ben Johnson of like, hey, we play our starters and some teams don't do that. Both teams lost at the end of the day. So I'm just curious your thoughts on how both of these teams are coming into the postseason, and the Bears could have easily had 3 losses in a row if Green Bay just catches an onside kick as well. So it's an interesting juxtaposition or uniqueness that both of these teams are coming in with kind of some losing streaks into this really big matchup.
Yeah, it was interesting because this game against the Lions for the Chicago Bears, now that they didn't win it, hindsight's 2020, of course, but I think a lot of fans were like, hey, then why did we, if we weren't going to win, why did we play our starters? Yep. Why did we put that wear and tear on them? Now, the Bears are getting a couple guys back from injured reserve, most notably Kyler Gordon. They opened his practice window at least, so I don't know if he'll be ready to go for the Packers game, but he is back practicing. And you also think that Roma Dunze should be like back and active. That hasn't happened, but Ben Johnson said that he was still anticipated to help this year. And well, this year could just be this Saturday. So if that's the case, you have to think that Chicago is still going to get some guys back who have been on some rest. But at the same time, I mean, I don't blame the Packers for resting all their guys. I mean, teams did it all across the league. You have to take rest where you can get it because this is a long season. It's even longer now with the 17 games after the last couple of years. And these guys are going through the equivalent of a car accident every week, every time they play. So this is, I get it. Again, you know, hindsight's 2020. And I don't think enough people kind of put stock into how much Ben Johnson wanted to beat the Detroit Lions and beat his former team because he didn't have a chance to do that in week two. And in fact, lost by a lot because Detroit hung 50 on them, over 50 on them. So there was, I think, a lot of motivation. But what I heard from Detroit coaches after that game was like, these players are not out here to play this game right now. They are already thinking about next week. They're not here on this field. And if that was going to be the case, if you weren't going to be able to manufacture that motivation to send your team into the postseason with, you know, a culture win, then I don't know if the Bears are going to kind of regret not resting some of their guys, not helping some of their guys get healthy, especially when they have had injury issues. And one being CJ Gardner-Johnson, who got injured in that Detroit game.
It is a really interesting aspect of, I've seen people in Packers fandom of saying like, I hate that Green Bay didn't play players in the last week. You know, you play football and it helps you and you want to gain momentum and things like that. And this is before the game even happened. I talked about this scenario of like, what if you're playing for momentum and you go out and play your starters and you lose the game? Like that's almost the worst situation. In Chicago is kind of in that situation. Yeah. Is they go out, they try to play it and they lose. And now you have less momentum, whether momentum's a thing or not, we can argue whatever, but you have less momentum going into the postseason. At the end of the day, you know, I think both of these teams, again, we'll see with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson what happens with him, but both of these teams are relatively healthy. It seems like, again, like you mentioned, the Bears are going to get some key players back. It seems like the Packers are going to get some key players back. It's funny how playoff football starts healing those injuries just a little bit quicker sometimes. But I think both these teams are going to be healthy enough. And as soon as this game kicks off, I don't think it matters that the Packers have lost four in a row. I don't think it matters that the Bears have lost two in a row. I don't think it matters that Green Bay rested their starters. I don't think it matters that Chicago played their starters. I just, this is going to be an intense, physical, super special, entertaining battle that I think is going to go to the very end. And I think all of those narratives and stuff just fly completely out the window as soon as that first ball is kicked off and it's game on and it's anybody's game. And that's what I'm most excited for, is it feels like every play in this game is just going to be monumentally important. And at any moment, it could be that moment where it completely changes the outcome of the game. So I think it's interesting to talk about, but I think once the game kicks off, I think it's just going to be football. It's football.
Yeah. I mean, I think at this point, you know, or like going into week 18, you look at kind of the concrete things that you can control, right? And I think that that's how Matt LaFleur approached it. And I think that's a really smart way to approach it because, you know, there is an argument as to how effective or how real momentum even is, but what's real is health. So doing that, I think, was, again, the right call. But I also understood it from the Bears' perspective, just wanting to, because like so much of this year has been about building culture and you know, making an identity for this team. But that does go all out the window when it's Bears Packers. I think some of it goes out the window just because it's the playoffs and everything is do or die and every minute matters and the margin for error is that much smaller. But you add in on top of that, that this is, you know, the best rivalry in the NFL and these two teams legitimately do not like each other. I think that you're right, that this is just, you know, you did all the things that you could concretely control coming into this game. But I mean, this is all the excitement and whatever is all going to take over once Saturday hits.
Every single second that we're talking about this game, the more that I'm jealous of you that you're going to be in that stadium on Saturday. And I'm excited to watch it on TV still, but maybe mistakes were made. Maybe I should have done the press pass for this one and hung out with Carmen Vitale on game day for a Packers Bears game. But
that would have been fun. It would have been a fun little crossover. Although
it's
so hard when, you know, these are like such exciting games and you're in the press box and like you can't make any noise and you can't like, I mean, not to say that last Bears-Packers game was the loudest I think I've ever heard of press box. Like, really? People were like, it was just the most insane game, right? It wasn't even that like people were cheering. It was just like, are you kidding? Like, just shock and disbelief echoing throughout the press box. So I have a feeling that this is going to be that too, but you're supposed to like keep a lid on it, which kind of takes some of the fun out.
Yeah, no, for sure. Either way, I don't care if anyone's watching anywhere. This one's going to be a fun one. I want to start, kind of as we look at some of the matchups and keys to this game, I want to start with Jordan Love and Caleb Williams, because personally, and I really would love your thoughts on this as well. I think really since the onside kick recovery for Chicago, Caleb has played some of his best football. Now, maybe Detroit game a little bit aside, but overall, it feels like he's playing with more confidence. Yeah. And then, from Jordan Love's standpoint, since that Bears game and the injury, he hasn't played. He hasn't had the opportunity to get out there. So you have a Jordan Love who hasn't played a couple of weeks. You have Caleb Williams, who seems to be gaining confidence by the minute. Where do you see these two quarterbacks going at or going into this game, and what can we expect from both of them?
Yeah, I would argue that Caleb kind of started to turn it on even against the Browns, which gave them quite a bit of confidence, despite the fact that there was Myles Garrett on the other side of that line. But that being said, I mean, if you're doing like the matchup comparison that, Next Gen has or whatever, you don't even need Next Gen stats to know that like Jordan Love's the better quarterback. He still is the better quarterback. He has been the better quarterback. Caleb Williams, I don't think has scratched the surface of what he possibly can be or his potential. He has not reached his ceiling whatsoever, and he has drastically improved. But we have to acknowledge the gray area here, which is he's not there yet. And what's happened, especially against good teams, where you see like, all right, he turns it on in the fourth quarter. He turns it on with 2 minutes to go. He turns it on after this once in a lifetime onside kick restart opportunity. But leading up to that, you're in a hole. I mean, going in that's why the Bears lost that game to Detroit, because heading into the fourth quarter, they were in a 2-score hole, and that isn't always surmountable. Like, you can't always come back from that. And then you add in the playoffs and how small the margin for error is, which I keep saying, but it's true. It's a completely different season. Now, the only thing that I think could happen, I suppose, is if Caleb needs all of this pressure to like turn it on, right? Well, what's more pressure than a playoff game? Every second of a playoff game is a high pressure situation. It could mean the game. It could mean your season. It means your season. So does Caleb Williams kind of internalize that and play like he does in the fourth quarter for the entire 60 minutes? I don't know. I think that's a possibility. But at the end of the day, which is the quarterback that I trust more? I trust Jordan Love more. Jordan Love has a better body of work. He has experience in the postseason. He has all of the skills and the talent. And, I've been obviously a big believer in Jordan Love since he took over the starting job. And I maintain that. I know that he has had his health issues over the last couple of seasons. But at the end of the day, his mechanics, his experience, his understanding of the game, his processing skills, the mental side of the game is just so much further along than when Caleb is, which is fine. Caleb shouldn't be there yet. This is only the first year under a competent offensive coordinator. So at the end of the day, experience, I think, in these situations wins out. And I just expect Jordan Love to be, that Toyota-thon Jordan Love, if we can still use that analogy. I just expect a lot from Jordan Love in this game, and I expect him to go out there and show us why he's a $60 million man and all of that kind of stuff, because that's, I really think that's, experience matters in these situations.
We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, whether you're starting a new routine or making player picks for the very first time, trying something new can be difficult. But in life and on Prize Picks, it always feels good to be right. And with high-pressure playoff matchups every weekend and elite hoops action every night, the action never stops. And Prize Picks lets you take control. Now, I love how simple Prize Picks is to use and how fun it is to play. This football season has been even more fun this year with Prize Picks, and getting in my picks for each slate of game has been a super fun part of each football weekend. And listen, I get we're all having withdrawals from our fantasy leagues being over with, so this is the perfect time to stay in fantasy game mode by using Prize Picks every single week. And if you haven't checked lately, Prize Picks is now available in all 50 states. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And again, make sure that you're using that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. All right, so you know what I have no time for in my life anymore? Irritation. And I really don't have time for neck irritation. Now, I've tried just about every form of razor that you could possibly imagine. And no matter what, there always seems to be some sort of issue or irritation that comes from them. That was until I switched to Harry's Plus. Harry's Plus gives you a barbershop quality shave with German engineered blades that are each honed at three different angles to cut hair evenly without tugging. These blades are optimized to glide smoothly and easily, and every cartridge includes a lubricating strip with aloe and vitamin E to calm skin while you shave. And the best part is how affordable it is. Now, Harry's controls the entire process from steel to shelf, and they are able to keep the cost low because of it. So why pay $30 for refills when Harry's gives you better blades for a fraction of that? And right now, for a limited time, our listeners can get the Harry's Plus trial set for only $10 at harrys.com/packaday. This set includes the all-new Harry's Plus razor, one refined five-blade cartridge, a two-ounce foaming shave gel, and a travel cover to protect your blades on the go. Just head to harrys.com/packaday to claim this offer. And after your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them Packaday sent you.
One of the reasons I love playoffs is because, at least for me personally, I can talk myself in a million different directions. My first thought is like, of course, like the postseason experience obviously matters. Green Bay's had, you know, back-to-back playoff, you know, at least opportunities the last 2 years. They understand winning like they did against Dallas a couple of years ago. They understand the heartbreak of losing and just the intensity that the playoffs brings. They understand that a lot of the players on this Bears team, there's obviously some like a Chauncey Gardner-Johnson amongst others that have had that playoff experience. But for the most part, a lot of these guys, Joe Tooney, of course, a lot of those guys do not have it. So I'm interested to see the difference there. But then I could go back to that Packers game in Dallas, the opening where you've got Jordan Love making his first playoff start and a bunch of guys that's the youngest team in the league.
And he just goes off, right?
And they go completely crazy and score a billion points and completely boat race Dallas in Dallas. So like that's where, again, the beauty of this is there's so many different ways that we can look at this. And again, once the ball kicks off, we have no idea what direction it's going to go in. And that's what's so special about postseason football is just this. There's so many things that could and probably will happen in this game. But yeah, I'm with you. I think Jordan Love obviously has the experience factor and he's just been the better quarterback. But to your point, Caleb's been pretty clutch as of late. And this is a high pressure packed playoff situation. If he comes out and plays like that through the entirety of the game, I mean, good luck that he has all the talent in the world to be as good as he wants to be. And if he puts it together for 60 minutes, it's going to be a long day at the office for the opposition, whoever it is. Hopefully that's not this week for Green Bay. As we look at this matchup even further, let's start with the bad guys first. What are the Bears' advantages in this game that would give, you know, a Bears fan confidence that they could, you know, ultimately win this game?
Yeah, I mean, we were talking before we got on that, like, you know, there could be a weather system coming in to Chicago for this game. And if that's the case, A, that's the best atmosphere you could ask for with an NFC North playoff game between the Bears and Packers. Like, amazing. But what that means for the game itself and on the field is who has the better ground game at this point. And you mentioned Joe Tooney having that playoff experience, not only playoff experience, championship experience. I mean, this guy has won the division in all but one season of his career. No matter what team he's been with, he has four championships to his name. That's something that, you know, he's the leader of that offensive line. He's the one that steps up and, you know, that people look towards. He's the guy that Caleb Williams went over to after the game, the loss to the Lions, to kind of, you know, just get some guidance from, because like this is so in that case, Joe Tooney is the leader of that offensive line. He's the leader of that offense in so many ways. Caleb Williams is a captain as well. He has come into his own, blossomed into his own type of leader, but there's no match for actual experience. And that's what Joe Tooney brings. And that's why this ground game has just kind of taken off. A, Ben Johnson prioritizes it, right? That game against the Lions this last week was the first time, I think, in like four or five games where the Bears actually threw more than they ran the ball. That hasn't been the case over the last few weeks as this ground game has really gotten going. And it's the backbone of the offense. And so if you're talking about weather, if you're talking about some tough, you know, hard-nosed football, the black and blue division, what wins out is physicality and the ground game. And so if the Bears can be effective on the ground, it just takes so much pressure off of Caleb Williams to... You know, and it keeps the Bears in the game. It keeps them controlling the clock. It keeps them in command even if they're not necessarily in the lead. So, and like we've also seen that Ben Johnson doesn't shy away from the run, even when they are down a couple of scores. He keeps running the ball because he knows that they can break off explosives on the ground, given, you know, and I didn't even mention, obviously, the backs themselves being DeAndre Swift and Kyle Menungai, who are just so complementary to each other with their skill sets. This is a really potent ground game, and it's a really potent ground attack. And for a team that's like that can struggle against the run, that's not good news, especially again if there's weather and this is what that this game comes down to. Especially if, you know, if the Bears are within one score heading into the fourth quarter, that's concerning, honestly. I mean, I think if you're Green Bay, you really need to put an emphasis on getting out in front early and staying out in front and keeping the foot their foot on the proverbial necks of the Chicago Bears because of how clutch Caleb Williams has proved that he can be.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. A couple other names too. I mean, first of all, Colson Loveland has been playing out of his, he's a star in the making. And so just making sure that he doesn't get off to a huge start and kind of, again, tear up Green Bay's defense early and often in this one. And then the other thing I'll just add, you mentioned the weather. That game in, what was it, week 16? Cairo Santos had bet one of the best special team / kicker performances that I have ever seen.
Yes.
What he did in the wind in that game. Yep. You know, hooking some of those balls in for like, there was one that was a 50 plus yard field goal.
Yes.
That ends up being, you know, monumental in the end. He made everything on an extremely windy day and has the onside kick, which got a really good bounce at the end. Outside of maybe a couple of magical Vinatieri moments in the snow back in the day, that was as good of a kicker performance that I have seen, especially given conditions. And if this is a windy, whatever, you know, condition game it ends up being, I would have a lot of faith if I were Chicago in my kicker that he can go out there and still execute those kicks. I was blown away at some of the kicks that he made in that game. And I would think that Chicago would have full confidence in him to do that again.
Yeah, that's a really good shout because we talked to him in the locker room after that game. And I mean, it was down to like every single attempt, every single field goal attempt. He was like, I mean, literally like putting his hand up to the wind, trying to figure out where it was coming from because it was swirling winds. It wasn't just like, okay, there's 15 mile an hour winds coming out of the east or whatever. Like that wasn't happening. It was like changing by the minute. And so he was having to adjust on the fly, which when you hear him talk about, like, I can't even go into all the intricacies that he was telling us about, mostly because I don't even understand them, but it was like the extreme amount of understanding he had of like physics and just all of that kind of stuff is like, when you have that experience, it's incredible. And not to mention that he has the familiarity with Soldier Field, which is already a hard place to kick in.
Yep.
Because of being on the lakefront and because the wind patterns change so drastically and you get these gusts of wind. And like, I mean, Cairo was literally talking about not only timing it up with the play clock, but having to time it up with the wind bursts that he had been tracking. Like, that's how intense it was for him to try to figure out how to kick. And like, it was, it was one of the most insane performances by a kicker that I've ever seen. And for a guy that catches a lot of heat for not being able to really kick beyond 50 yards, he sure as hell figured out how to kick beyond 50 yards in just almost near impossible conditions. So I have to think that, you know, you feel good if you're the Bears in your kicking game, as long as it isn't, you know, 55 perhaps or longer. That's, you know, he doesn't necessarily have that kind of leg. But in figuring out the intricacies of Soldier Field, I'll take Cairo Santos any day of the week and twice on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And yeah, first of all, trying to get inside the mind of a kicker is an impossible task in and of itself, but especially when he's adding physics and math to the equation, it's a difficult task, but he was phenomenal. I had to go and double check because I didn't remember him getting special teams player of the week, which I thought was going to be a travesty, but he did. He did in fact get special teams player of the week that week, which was deservedly so. On the flip side, Packers advantages in this game. If you're Green Bay, what are you trying to, you know, kind of get going that is going to play into Green Bay's hands?
Yeah, push the ball down the field. I mean, this is a Bears secondary that, yes, they've had takeaways, but it's masked a lot of issues on this Bears defense. And I mean, if you complement it with the ground game, and it seems like Josh Jacobs is going to be healthy and ready to go for this game, the Bears do not have a run defense to speak of. I mean, it has been abysmal even in these last few games. I mean, you saw that even against the 49ers, which there wasn't really defense in that game, period. But it was kind of a glaring, you realize like, oh yes, the Bears have the most takeaways of any team in the league, right? You know, like they finished with the most takeaways of any team in the league this season, but it masks a whole lot of deficiencies kind of up and down the line, the defense there, which I don't know, that kind of reminds me of another team maybe from last year who also led the league in takeaways, and that ended up masking some bigger issues that were happening, like not being able to affect the quarterback and not being really great against the run and, you know, allowing for explosive plays and all of that kind of stuff. So it's up to Green Bay to take advantage of that. And I think that they can, obviously, with Jordan Love. I expect him to be the Jordan Love that we all know and love. And the fact that he has a lot of his offensive weapons available to him that can stretch the field, being, you know, Christian Watson being like number one there, that, you know, you just hope that he's all the way good to go. And you have, but you also, yeah, should be. So like you have all of the makings of a complete offense against a very incomplete defense. So you, like I said before, you have to put an emphasis on starting fast. You have to put points on the board on that first drive. You have to be able to get out to a multi-score lead early and keep that lead and then keep adding to that lead. I mean, I don't think that there's any chance that Matt LaFleur isn't going to be going full throttle for the entire game, just based on the fact that not only is it playoffs, but it's the Bears and it's Ben Johnson. And, you know, there's that little rivalry between those two guys. So I really think that that's just going to be key for the Packers and just giving the Bears an insurmountable gap to close come the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think he's going to be aggressive and going for points. They have to be better in the red zone. Green Bay struggled in the red zone mightily as of late. So they've got to find a way to get, you know, touchdowns and not settle for field goals or go four and out or have Josh Jacobs fumbles, et cetera. I think they're going to move the ball a lot on Chicago. Mm-hmm. And the two big things are then, can they pay it off with touchdowns at the end? And can they, you know, force or at least avoid the Chicago reign of turnovers that just hasn't ended? And they seem to get it's remarkable the difference between Green Bay's defense seemingly allergic to turnovers, where they have multiple plays that they can pick off and it just bounces off their hands, and Chicago, where it's just like, oh, bounce up in the air. Oh, Kevin Byard's there. Oh, right, bounce in the air. Right, oh, there's another Chicago's defender there. Just, oh, onside kick. Oh, Chicago player there. It's just, it's been remarkable, the difference. Well, maybe we'll see that switch in this one, but turnovers, of course, per usual in the playoffs and in every NFL game, going to play a major factor. But when you have the team that is number one in the league by far in turnover differential, and Green Bay right around, even, I think they're plus one in the season. Is it going to play a massive, massive factor in this one? We talked Love Williams. Mm-hmm. Which coach would you rather have in this game, Matt LaFleur or Ben Johnson? It's a fun little rivalry, as you mentioned, that's budding here between the two.
It is, because, I mean, Ben Johnson doesn't have the head coaching situational experience in the playoffs like Matt LaFleur does, but he does have experience in the playoffs, and he was given pretty free rein by Dan Campbell to, you know, call the game like he wanted to call the game, be as aggressive as he wanted to be. Obviously, the Lions were known for a very aggressive brand of football, still are known for a very aggressive brand of football. And I'm the type that, like, whoever's more aggressive, I'm with it. Even if it doesn't work out, like, I can rationalize that. Basically because, like, you know, you live your life, like, I live my life, I'd rather regret something than ask what if. So, like, yep. I take that to the football field where I'm like, I would rather you be aggressive and try things and maybe fail, but it wasn't for lack of trying. Like, don't play scared. Don't do like any of that. Don't play conservatively. Nobody likes that, especially in a game like this. But if you're asking me, which I don't know, I honestly don't. I think these are both like extremely good coaches. I think that, you know, Ben has an opportunity to make a statement as to like, and just kind of put a bow on his first season as a head coach, which is not a hard, it's not an easy transition to make from coordinator to head coach. And he's made it look so seamless and so easy, despite the fact that I know that Ben Johnson has been at the office all hours. He's one of those guys that just doesn't leave the facility. You know, he installs new plays every week, despite the fact that, you know, they have a playbook they're working from. Like, he's that type of sicko compliment, which I love. But like, I love Matt LaFleur being as aggressive as he can be. I love him being, like, when he's aggressive, I should say, like, that's the Matt LaFleur I love. And I love him being petty. And I love him, you know, that chess match that he is so good at, thinking 2-3 steps ahead. I think he's really good at that. And whether or not you can get your players to execute that, that's the hard part. But I do think that he'll have these players ready to go. So I didn't answer the question. I don't know. I really don't. I love both of these coaches. I really think that the NFC North probably has all four of those coaches, I think I would take over anybody else in the league. I think that those are like literally my top four coaches.
We'll be right back. It's an unbelievable division of coaches. It's absolutely crazy. And by the way, what Kevin O'Connell did to get to 9-8, and I know a lot of the wins came after they were eliminated or whatever, but despite all the quarterback issues and everything that they had with that team, to get to 9-8 with that team is pretty freaking impressive too. I think both coaches are really good. And I think both of them are going to have or find ways to pick apart the opposing defense, which is why I expect a lot of points in this game, is because I think both of them are really good. Does that mean you are not a believer that Matt LaFleur either is or should be on the hot seat this week with this game?
I don't know that he isn't. I don't think he should be. I think that's the distinction that I'm going to make, but I understand the chatter. I understand the conversation because you set expectations for yourself. And there are expectations that the franchise has based on, you know, your record up to that point. And like with the Packers having reached the NFC Championship under Matt LaFleur, the next step is to reach the Super Bowl, and he's failed to do that. And so I understand that, you know, you don't get forever to surpass those expectations. And especially when the team itself went all in this year, getting and trading for Micah Parsons, mortgaging part of the future, the message was, we're ready to win and we're ready to win now. And if you don't deliver on that, and if you go one and done like you did last year, and you don't show any sort of improvement, no matter what happened during the season, I mean, there's injuries, there's this, there's that, but that happens every year. I understand the conversation. Now, do I think that Matt LaFleur is deserving of being on the hot seat? No, but as we just saw in Baltimore, people, you know, coaches eventually wear out their welcome, you know, no matter how good they are. So I think, you know, I don't think he should be, but I think he will be, especially if the Packers don't win this game. I think there could be a decision made, honestly, and I don't necessarily agree with it, but that's the reality of the NFL.
Sean McDermott, Mike Tomlin, Matt LaFleur, who has more to gain and or lose in the wild card round this weekend? Or who is most on the line?
Yeah, I know. I feel like it's almost McDermott because of the, like, I know there's been chatter of Tomlin leaving Pittsburgh and like how that would be insane because he's the longest tenured head coach at his, you know, at his team and this, that, the other, and they've never finished with a losing record and this, that, the other, whatever. But I don't think there's any better opportunity for the Bills to come out of the AFC, to win the AFC, to get to a Super Bowl, to win a Super Bowl than there is this year. Because if you look at what's coming down the line in the AFC, the Broncos are the top seed. I think they're a force to be reckoned with. I think they're going to be even more of a force next year. You look at the Patriots, who are clearly coming. Like, they are, you've got the MVP. He's my MVP this year, Drake May. And it's only a matter of time with Mike Vrabel at the helm that defense is going to be a problem. And you're just going to have a very complete team again in New England, and you're going to start another dynasty. I'm calling it now. Like, it's all, the recipe is there. They're not quite, you know, together enough yet, but they will be next year. So you like, and then I can't think that the Chiefs are just done. You know, I mean, I think they might take 1 or 2 years to rebuild. And then depending on who the Ravens end up getting, like, you're just, that AFC is not going to be easier to win than this year. Correct. And you have to figure out how to do that. You have to figure out how to get your run defense up to snuff, because that's been the Achilles heel of this Bills team all season. And it's time, Buffalo. And I think that the entire city feels that. And so, yeah, I think it's Sean McDermott.
No Burrow, no Lamar, no Mahomes. It's now. Now is the time.
I didn't even talk about the fact that Burrow and the Bengals like are a non-factor this year too.
They're the best of the best are out of it in the AFC. Josh Allen's the lone remainder, and we'll see if he can get the job done and finally get the Bills to a Super Bowl. I cannot wait. You don't have to if you don't want to, but do you have a final prediction for this game?
I do think the Packers are going to end up winning. I just think that, again, experience wins out. They understand the margin for error just doesn't exist. Again, barring, like, if Caleb Williams really does, like, turn it on for all 60 minutes in the way that he's turned it on in the fourth quarter this year, that's a problem. But I do think that a lot of it isn't just, like, the clutch thing. I think a lot of it is he just doesn't quite have the command over this offense that Ben Johnson would like him to have, which Ben told us. I mean, Ben has been very transparent about the fact that Caleb isn't going to get it all the way in the first year. It's just impossible with how complex the system is, where he was starting from, all that kind of stuff. So I just don't think that the Bears are quite ready to make a run in the postseason. Now, I think they will be next year. I think that next year is going to be really, really fun for this team. But I do think that the Packers are still talent-wise the better team. They're the more experienced team. They have a really great coach. Like I said, I really still am a big Matt LaFleur believer. And I'm a huge Jordan Love believer. So if you have a great quarterback, if you have a great head coach and you have the experience, it's hard to bet against you.
I hope you're right. Again, I think this is a true coin flip. I think it's going to be a ton of fun. Again, I'm jealous of you being there. Enjoy the heck out of it. Obviously, at Carmi V on social media, Fox Sports Radio. Anything else you want to plug on the way out?
No, I mean, that's it. I'll be on. I'm going to attempt to do my radio show before the game and then get over to the game. So we'll see how that goes. So tune in from 3 to 5 p.m. Central on Fox Sports Radio.
If anyone can pull it off, it's you. Again, go follow her on social media at Carmi V. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. That's going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.